ॐ योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचां मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तं प्रवरं मुनीनां पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि. ऐ बौ टु दि एमिनेंट सेज पतञ्जलि हु रिमूव्ड द इम्प्यूरिटीस ऑफ दि माइंड थ्रू योगा ऑफ स्पीच through grammar and of the body through medicine. In our last class, we had studied partly the 19th sutra of Patanjali Yoga Sutras. We discussed that when a person wants to become a yogi, he had to take to definitive practices, and we have not yet come to that state where he outlines 8-stepped method: yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. These 8 steps is also called kriya yoga or yoga in practice. Of these 8 steps, 50%, that is 4 steps, are merely preparing the instrument. When we come to that sutra aphorism, we will discuss it further. But only one point I would like to mention. Why is it so necessary for us to prepare the instrument? Because we can never progress. However much practice we do, we can never progress until we prepare the instruments. And we have 2 instruments, the body and the mind. It doesn't matter the environment, but our body and our mind is the most important instruments. Another point we need to recollect and be grateful to God is that unless great souls like Sri Ramakrishna had appeared on this earth, we would have lost total faith in the scriptures, and the study that we have undertaken is one of those scriptures, Patanjali Yoga Sutras. What is he talking about? Samadhi. And if we study the life and teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, what do we find? Every second practically, he was in a state of samadhi, was going. And what is samadhi? It is that state where a person knows what is reality. He becomes identified with that state of reality. So to recollect briefly before we go on, we are studying Patanjali Yoga Sutras. What is yoga? Yoga is that action through which the mind or the thoughts which consist of the mind are totally eliminated. And with the elimination of thoughts, the whole, what is called non-self, the world, universe, cosmos, disappears. And that is our natural state. And to attain to our true natural state is the goal of life. And here, goal of life doesn't mean that we are going to attain something else. Just as I mentioned many times during my talks, an apple seed has the most natural activity to manifest itself into an apple tree. It cannot help. It's not a question of choice. It had to do that. This is what Patanjali says. This is what Vedanta tells. This is what Swami Vivekananda came once again to re-emphasize. Each soul is potentially divine. The implications of that statement are tremendous. What it means is, we have no choice but to become our own true self. And what is the nature of our true self? It is to be divine. And what does it mean to be divine? Because it appears to be a mysterious something. It is attributed, at least in our imagination, only to God. God is divine. But am I a God? Vedanta gives a beautiful definition. What is God? Absolute existence, absolute knowledge, and absolute bliss. Sat, Chit, and Ananda. What is it we want? What is it every creature, every living creature, what does it struggle for from moment to moment, from birth to death, from birth after birth? What does it struggle for? It wants to be, it wants to know, and above all, it wants to remain blissful. So evolution is inevitable. And I also mentioned an important point. Biologists, physicists, they are talking about evolution. The moment we use certain words and we can never understand their meaning unless we have knowledge of this opposite. For example, simplest example is, I am a man. How do I know I am a man? Because I know there is another type of human being who is called a woman. How do we know this is daytime? Because we are aware of night time. How do we know what is happiness? We are aware of unhappiness. Funnily, you know, if you happen to go to the sun god and meet him, good morning, what do you think his response to you would be? He would be wondering, what does good I understand, but what is morning, what does morning mean? Because from the sun's point of view, there is neither morning, nor afternoon, nor evening, nor night. But if you go to God and say you are good, this is one of the most interesting points. According to Vedanta, God is not good. Is he evil? No, he is not evil. He is beyond both good and evil. For us, so hard to understand, because human mind is constituted in such a way, we can only think in terms of dualities. So, what is yoga? To attain to our real state. What do we gain? We become immortal. There is no death. We become all consciousness. There is no ignorance. We become blissful. There is no break, both in intensity and extensity, in our happiness, which is called bliss. And that's what we are really struggling for. And when a practitioner has the knowledge from some great soul, he comes to hear about it, that you are potentially divine. Going on hearing about it, at some point, the desire comes. Am I really potentially divine? And at some point, he becomes possessed of Shraddha, of which we will discuss later on, Shraddha. As soon as that faith comes in, instantaneously he feels a desire, let me attain to my state, what we have been seeking unconsciously throughout our transmigration. We would now seek the same thing consciously, deliberately, with crystal clear understanding, and each step which can lead to the next step. Of such steps, there are 4 steps. This is called lower samadhi, and it is a state of knowledge. If you recall, it is called sampragnata samadhi. Sampragnata means right knowledge. And this samadhi, according to Patanjali, is divided into 2. Objective concentration and subjective concentration. And Purusha, or pure consciousness, is beyond both object and subject. So, objective concentrations are of 2 types, or rather 3 types, and subjective concentration is of 1 type. To recollect, when a person starts practicing intense concentration, here, let me also mention a very, very important point. According to Patanjali, you don't need to believe in God. You do not need to believe in God. That doesn't mean you don't need to believe in anything. You have to believe in something. Only you do not need to believe in God. Then what does this particular aspirant believe in? He believes he is potentially divine. He believes that is his true nature. That's enough. If he has a true belief, true faith, that is enough. But second thing, it is not enough to believe, it is necessary to make that faith into a fact, transform that faith into realization. And when he starts doing, he encounters many, many obstacles. And there is only one object which is the greatest obstacle. Do you know what it is? It is called mind. So it is said, bondage is also in the mind. Liberation is also in the mind. Because the soul is never really bound. It is the mind with which the soul becomes associated. And he thinks, I am the mind. And the mind thinks, I am the soul. And this confusion comes. To get rid of this confusion, to separate the mind from the pure consciousness, is the goal of the yoga. So there are four types of lower samadhi, four steps, but each leading gradually to a higher and still higher and still higher level. So according to Patanjali, samadhi means our real state of the mind, not of the consciousness. Consciousness had no states. We are purely talking about the mind has lower four states. What is that four states? First, when the mind concentrates intensely on an object in space and time, that is called savitarka. When the person becomes capable of taking out the idea of the object from the realm of time and space, it is called nirvitarka. Even that is a great achievement. And with each achievement, a special power is attained. To know is to have power. Knowledge is power. Tremendous powers are obtained. The next higher step is, the concentration is focused upon a subtle aspect of the physical object, from the external to the internal. Again, it is of two types. It is called savichara and nirvichara. Savichara means when a subtle object is focused upon in time and space, it is called savichara. When we take out the same subtle idea out of time and space, and that is called nirvichara. And then comes a big leap, and that leap, the third step, higher step, is to get rid of the objects completely and to focus only on the instrument of cognition, which is mind. As it were, the mind divides itself into two. One is the person who focuses, another is the object upon which it focuses. When a yogi succeeds in this, he attains immense bliss. How does he attain to this immense bliss? A beautiful illustration is given. Imagine there is bright sunlight and we are in a room completely covered, and so the room is in darkness. Outside there is total light, maybe midday sun. Imagine there is one small window, a glass window, and light could come through that. But the glass is covered completely in dirt and dust, so that it never allows the light to come. As we go on cleaning the glass, two things happen simultaneously. One, more and more light starts percolating through that glass. Second, that very light which is coming through that glass shows us the defects of the glass much more clearly, so that we can clean it thoroughly. When that cleansing process is complete, the glass in its native nature, that means not obstructing the light to percolate through, it almost allows the complete light to stream in. And so what is this analogy for? Here is the self full of bliss, and here is the mind covered with dirt. And that, what is the dirt? The dirt is what Vedanta calls past impressions, our thoughts, our ideas. Thickly we are covered. I am the body, very thick covering. I am a mixture of body and mind, a little less dirt. I am the mind, much more light. I am not the mind, even more light. That very light makes us realize, okay, I am not enjoying the light. Where from is the light coming? From within myself. When a person realizes, he becomes totally immersed in unimaginable, indescribable bliss. And that state is called Sananda Samadhi. When a person reaches that state, there arises a special type of knowledge. It is called Viveka Khyati, discriminative knowledge. Instantaneously, person says, I do not want to have happiness. I do not wish to be happy. I want to become happiness. In Bengali, it is a beautiful expression, which unfortunately most of us do not understand properly. Ami chini hote chai na, chini khete chai. I do not wish to become sugar. I wish to enjoy sugar. But this question was asked once to Swami Brahmananda. Which is better, to become sugar or to taste sugar? His instantaneous reply was, only an ignorant person who doesn't know what he is talking about, he only says, I want to enjoy sugar. I do not wish to be. Very briefly, because I discussed these points many, many times in greater detail. Refer to your notes or memory, whichever is. What is the difference? If I have happiness, anything that I have, it can come, it can go. I have an object, it can come, it can go. At some point it was not there, at some other point it will go away. Even this body, if we say, I have the body, because I am not the body, because I have the body, when did it come? When we are born. When does it go? When death comes. But we do not die. The body comes and goes. So also, even subtler point, it is the mind. I have a mind. I am not the mind. I can never be the mind. Whatever fluctuates, whatever comes and goes, can never be me. Grammatically also, it is impossible to say that I have something unless I am separate from that something. So when a yogi succeeds to this Sananda Samadhi, there comes a very subtle type of discriminative knowledge, which is, I do not wish to have happiness. I do not wish to have happiness. I want to be happiness, because that the happiness which we have comes and goes, however intense it is. And in our scriptures it is said, even if a person attains Brahma Loka, the highest heaven, he has to fall down one day or the other. So they are all like Adhridaha Plavaha, leaky boats. They will drown you into the ocean of this transmigration. Okay, if you have curiosity, you go there, enjoy. Go there only on a visitor's visa. And incidentally, they will give you only visitor's visa. They will never allow you to stay there permanently, because there is no permanence in anything excepting in God. When this discriminative knowledge comes, then he says, who is this I, or who am I? I am sure many of you have heard about Ramana Maharshi. And whenever anyone goes to him with a problem, and usually devotees go only when there is a problem, and they ask, Swami, how to get rid of this problem? He smiles and says, find out who you are. There is a deep meaning in it. What it means is, if you are thinking that you are a person who is having a problem, then you are never going to get rid of the problems. Only when you realize that you have no problem. The problem belongs to your neighbor, to your nearest neighbor. Who is the nearest neighbor? The mind. So find out who you are. That's what he is referring, is a very high state. Find out who you are. So when a yogi, as we are studying the Patanjali Yoga Sutras, comes to the end of the third stage, and remember, he has to renounce the lower stages in order to go to the higher stages. When he has come to the end of this third stage, already the horizon becomes very clear. Oh, I thought this is the end of the mountain peak. As soon as I got up to the peak, I see another mountain peak which is much more attractive, much more beautiful, much more alluring. So the person, he becomes eager Because if I can experience so much of happiness in this, how much more happiness can I not derive if I go there? Very naturally, this evolutionary process takes place. And the person goes forward and then he comes to the peak, fourth stage. What is that fourth stage? The I consciousness, I awareness, separated from body, external world, then body, then mind. But even there, his discriminative knowledge becomes even more intense, even more intuitive. And then he realizes, what I have been thinking about myself, I am not this real I, I am only reflected I, I am only shadowy I, this is not my real nature. The moment he says, oh, if this is not my real nature, there must be something else. He knows what that something else is, but he cannot attain it. So this is what we had discussed in our last so many classes, I think around 30 classes. Now I want to proceed, and this is Sutra 19. But before that, I just briefly mentioned that whenever we have a concept of one idea, we also must be aware of the opposite idea. We are aware of this word, this concept, evolution. The moment evolution means what? Going up, becoming better, progressing. Swami Vivekananda makes it so beautifully. He says, the moment you hear of the word evolution, you must have the knowledge of involution. Without the idea of involution, the idea of evolution is totally impossible. What does that mean? I would like to go to God. Why do you want to go to God? The answer is, because you have come from God. That is what potential divinity means. You have forgotten your divine nature. Now nature is pushing you from within to attain to that state. Incidentally, the biologists, the scientists, they all talk about evolution. But they are unable to explain what is it that drives evolution. What is it that drives evolution? It is only this inside urge. I want to be myself. That means we are totally aware of our own divinity. So with this point, let us continue further. Now we are coming to the 18th sutra, 18th aphorism. Virama pratyaya abhyasa purvaha samskara sesho anyaha. As I mentioned, there are two types of samadhi, the lower and the higher. The lower samadhi is of four steps. That is, when a person realizes, I am a reflected I. My identity as a reflected I, this reflection, I am a reflection. If I am a reflection, then there must be some original person from whom I am getting this reflection. Just for a moment, imagine this. You are standing in front of a mirror. In day-to-day life, of course, this never happens. But imagine that you are standing in front of a mirror. Now, how many objects are there? You are there, the mirror is there, and then the reflection is there. Just for a moment, imagine that reflection somehow comes life and thinks that I am a reflected person. I am a reflected person. Imagine, there is no poverty in imagining. I am a reflected person. And then suddenly it says, am I a reflected person? So I am not the original person. Then who is the original person? The original person is there standing, of whose reflection I am. Now, in our waking state, it is difficult for us to understand this concept, because our reflection never thinks like that, because it is we who think of the reflection. We are also aware of ourselves, we are also aware of the reflection at the same time. But at the same time, if you are thinking about a dream state, in the dream state, our reflected I is very, very clear. Let me briefly try to dwell on this. You had a dream. Say in the dream, you have come to the Vedanta center, enjoyed the talk, enjoyed the Aratharikam, you woke up. And you also met so many people. You woke up. After waking up, you remember the dream. What was the dream? You came to the Vedanta center and you heard the talk. and you went to the shrine and you enjoyed the worship, divine worship there. Now you are reflecting. Tell me now, who is the original I? Who is the reflected I? The person in our waking state who is recollecting the dream is the original person. And of whom? Oh, I went to the shrine. Who was that I? Reflected I. From the yogi's point of view, our waking state is also, this all reflected I only. The original I? No. We are vaguely, dimly aware of that original I. But it is even difficult for us to imagine that I am the origin of this awareness, of this so-called consciousness. That has to come. How does it come? It comes through faith. How does faith come? Through the scriptures, through the Guru. When you read Gita, when you read Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, for example, when you read the Bible, let me take the example of the Bible itself, New Testament. There are wonderful statements. It says, man is made out of the image of God. Have you heard that statement? Man is made, fashioned out of the image of God. That means every living creature is a reflection of the original consciousness. There are also statements, I and my Father are one. That means the individual soul and the supreme soul are one and the same. Take the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Someone asks, what is the goal of life? What would be his answer? God realization is the goal of life. God realization. What does that mean? If we reflect upon it, we will come to know. God means reality. That reality must become real. For us, what is real now? Now we are in a very peculiar state. Neither unreality is a reality, nor reality is a reality. This hanging in between, Trishanku Swarga, is called Maya or Mithya. What do you mean by saying we are living in this unreality? What is the definition of reality? Reality means that which never changes. Is there anything in this universe which never changes? Body is changing, mind is changing, the whole universe is changing. In fact, every millisecond it is changing in time, in space, in causation. That is why we have what is called fear. Though we are not aware of that fear. You know what is the fear? Fear is of death. Why do we fear old age? Why don't we fear youth? In fact, youth is the most fearful thing in this world. Because the greatest mistakes are done only in youth. Old age, you have neither the knowledge nor the energy to make many mistakes. So you go on regretting upon the mistakes that we have committed earlier in life. So this is what I call romantic pains. In old age, we all suffer from romantic pains. Romantic pain means rheumatic pains as well as romantic pains. Okay, so when this reflected consciousness develops this discriminative knowledge that I am the reflected consciousness, instantaneously it becomes aware that there must be original consciousness, and that pulls the person. Helplessly, he is attracted like an iron particle is helplessly attracted to a powerful magnet. And that is what here he is talking about. Virama pratyaya abhyasa purvaha samskara sesho anya. There is another means higher, highest type of samadhi. It is called asampragnata samadhi. I will come to the explanation. Let me first read the translation. The other kind of concentration is that in which the consciousness contains no object but only subconscious impressions, which are like burnt seeds. It is attained by constantly checking the thought waves through the practice of non-attachment. Let me briefly dwell upon this. The first point I made many times, I am now again making is, this highest samadhi cannot be attained through effort. It is the goal. It is the point of arrival. We can arrive there, but you cannot make effort. Why? It is like saying, I don't want to desire. Expression is there. I want to become desireless. Is that a desire? Human language we express. K Can you arrive at that point of desirelessness? Yes, we can, but not through effort. No effort. It is just like, you know, there are certain paradoxical things in life. One night, you are unable to sleep and you want to sleep. And what do? You struggle to sleep. The more you struggle, the more it becomes counter-effective. So what is the way to get sleep? Cease all struggles. That is the exact point here. But that ceasing to struggle is the practice we have to make. This is what Patanjali is making. Now, to understand this point, let me also briefly explain something. You know, our consciousness is always associated with an object, and it is fleeting from one object to the other. It is moving from one object to the other object. So, from object A to object B, constantly it is moving. This is what we call restlessness of the mind. But if we observe carefully, something very wonderful reveals itself to us. You know, when one thought ceases to be, when the other thought starts to begin, in between there is a gap. And that gap has a special name. It is called virama. Virama means stoppage. And it is happening unconsciously within us all the time. Now you know this word virama. In cinema, while watching cinema, in the past, cinemas, these films used to be 3 hours, 4 hours. So people get tired, they get hungry. So in between they put vishram is one word. Viram is another word. Like that, when a yogi goes on practicing these thought processes, sadhana, spiritual practice, he becomes intensely aware. He becomes a witness. And this wonderful miracle takes place. So you thought, you stopped. Now you started another thought. The yogi is aware. One thought is stopped and another thought starts. Usually the gap between these two is very small, just milliseconds. But there is a stop is there. And stopping, observing that middle point where in between two thoughts, that is the practice this person has to do. Now, what is the cause of the thought? Desire. Therefore, what is the process to stop these thoughts? Do not have desires. And not to have desires is called dispassion, detachment. When a yogi starts practicing this intense dispassion, and here also one most wonderful point we have to understand. After hearing this talk or reading a book, you go and say, I will start practicing dispassion. What do you mean? I do not wish to have this desire. In practice, this psychology never works. What is wanted is, why do we run after an object? Because it gives us, yields us certain type of pleasure or joy. But until we get that kind of joy from within ourselves, that object will never cease to enslave us. Only when we say, what you are giving, I am getting from within myself, though I do not need any more, automatically it falls off. So, where from that joy comes, already we described. When a person starts meditating on the very instrument, he gets the highest type of joy possible within this mind. And therefore, he develops what Patanjali called supreme dispassion. Now, all that he needs to do is that you increase this gap between these two thoughts. How does he do that? Because when dispassion comes, naturally, the objects do not attract. When objects do not attract us, the thoughts about those objects also naturally would not arise in our mind. Here is another important point. My Gurudev, Swami Yatishwanandi, used to tell, hating someone or getting angry with someone is as worse as loving someone. You know why? Because if you love somebody, what are you thinking of that person? If you hate somebody, whom are you thinking about? It even with even more intensity. That's whatever thought it binds, so go beyond both love and also hatred. This is the common teaching given by Vedanta and every scripture. Again and again, go beyond knowledge and ignorance. Go beyond pleasure and pain, go beyond good and evil, because they are not two separate absolutes. They are expressions of the same thing in different guises. So the point is, when a yogi has that supreme dispassion, it's called para-vairagya. That very para-vairagya makes his mind not get attached to anything. Why? Because he is getting so much of joy from within. Sri Ramakrishna had a very typical, beautiful expression. When a plant grows, as it goes on growing higher and higher, it drops off the lower leaves as a palm tree. But if you try to pull that leaf forcibly, you are only injuring that plant. It must happen very naturally. So a yogi's mind also, very naturally, it lifts itself up by attaining to higher state of happiness. The lower state of happiness automatically falls off. So when a yogi starts practicing this intense dispassion, intense detachment follows, and automatically the attraction of the objects become less and less and less. Naturally, the thoughts about them also become less and less and less. When this starts happening, the gap in between these two thoughts go on increasing. And a time will come when no thought appears with regard to any objects. Then what happens? But the past impressions which we all acquired through many, many lives, they remain in a very subtle state. When a yogi attains to that state, something happens automatically, like this intense dispassion acts like a catapult. As it were, the individual soul is a stone and it is put in the catapult of intense dispassion. And as it were, someone pulls it and then releases it. These are all what is called analogical. Then what happens to that stone? It goes out of the bounds of prakriti, nature, transmigration, maya, delusion, etc., etc. So, a yogi's problem is, he has to go on increasing the gap in between two thoughts. What it really means is, slowly stop thinking about objects. But the question comes, how can we stop thinking? Because we are accustomed to think objects. We are accustomed to feel, I am happy, that is an object. I don't like that, that is also an object. Only a person who knows, he knows. Because he is getting so much of joy from within. And so he doesn't need any object. In fact, every thought becomes an obstruction. This is the immediate analogy that comes to my mind is, suppose I am giving a talk here, and 100 persons are moving in front of me, having a gap between you and me. Do you see what happens at this time? How much I will be disturbed? A yogi who is enjoying this tremendous bliss from within, the self-joy, ananda, any thought that comes is an obstruction to him. It's like a fly in the eye. He feels intensely disturbed. That moves him further and further away from any object. This is the goal of this particular highest samadhi. But it's not so easy. So what happens? Very few people attain. When a person reaches that highest state, what is the fourth state? The realization that I am the reflected consciousness. And that is even higher than attaining ananda samadhi. Can you imagine? Sometimes some people get doubts. Swami, you say I have to go beyond bliss. Yes, you have to go beyond bliss. But if I go beyond bliss, what is there for me to live for? The thing is, these technical words need not confuse us. It is that kind of state where even it is like saying, I want to become sugar. Instead of eating sugar, I want to become sugar. It is difficult even to describe such a state. So when a person reaches that state, then he realizes, I am in the highest state of bliss. What happens? Many yogis get stuck there. He is getting so much of joy, he doesn't want to go up. So that is why Shankaracharya's great grand guru, Gaudapada, he says, yoga has four obstructions, terrible obstructions. One is ಲಯ, ವಿಕ್ಷೇಪ, ಕಷಾಯ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿ ಫೋರ್ತ್ ಒನ್ ಡು ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಗ್ರೇಟೆಸ್ಟ್ ಅಬ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಪರ್ಫೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಯೋಗ? ಆನಂದ. ಲಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಎಸ್ ಸೂನ್ ಎಸ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ಸ್ ರೆಸ್ಟ್ಲೆಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಸಿಟ್ಸ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಟು ಸಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಎಗ್ರೀಯಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಮೀ ಈವನ್ ಇನ್ ದೇರ್ ಸ್ಲೀಪ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಲಯ. ಲಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ತಾಮಸಿಕ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ವೇರ್ ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್. ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್. ವೈ ಡಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್? ದಿಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ವೆನ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್ ದಟ್ ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ ಗೋಸ್ ಟು ಸ್ಲೀಪ್? ವೆನ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ವುಂಡ್ ಅಪ್, ವೆನ್ ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ ಈಸ್ ಲಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರಿಲ್ಯಾಕ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅನ್ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ಯು ನೋ ದಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಬ್ರೈನ್ ವಾಶ್ಡ್ ಟು ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಎ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಿಟ್ಸ್ ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ, ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಥಾಟ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ರಿಲ್ಯಾಕ್ಸಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್, ಓ ಮೈ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ಈಸ್ ಪ್ರಿಪೇರಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಟು ಸ್ಲೀಪ್. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಲಯ. ದೆನ್ ದಿ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಹೈ ಈಸ್ ವಿಕ್ಷೇಪ. ಬಟ್ ಇಫ್ ದಿ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸ್ಲೀಪ್, ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್? ಯು ಟ್ರೈ, ಯು ಸಿಟ್, 100,000 ಥಾಟ್ಸ್ ಗೋ ಆನ್ ಮೂವಿಂಗ್. ಆಡೆಡ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ವಿ ಆಡ್ ಅನದರ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಇಟ್. ವೈ ಇನ್ ಹೆಲ್ ಆಮ್ ಐ ಸೋ ರೆಸ್ಟ್ಲೆಸ್? ವೈ ಆಮ್ ಐ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಬಿಹೇವಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎ ಮಂಕಿ? ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಕಾನ್ಸಂಟ್ರೇಟ್, ಐ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಫೋಕಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ರೆಸ್ಟ್ಲೆಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ರಾಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಮೀ? ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಿ ಆಡ್ ಟು ದಟ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ವಿಕ್ಷೇಪ. ಮೈಂಡ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟೆರಿಬಲಿ ರೆಸ್ಟ್ಲೆಸ್. ಸಮ್ಹೌ ಇಫ್ ಹಿ ಪ್ರೋಗ್ರೆಸಸ್ ದೆನ್ ದಿ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಅಬ್ಸ್ಟಕಲ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್, ಲೈಕ್ ಡಿಮನ್ಸ್. ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಅಬ್ಸ್ಟಕಲ್? ಕಷಾಯ. ಕಷಾಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಬಿಟ್ಟರ್ ಆಯುರ್ವೇದಿಕ್ ಮೆಡಿಸಿನ್. ಈವನ್ ಎ ಸ್ಮೆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಫೀಲ್ ಲೈಕ್ ವಾಮಿಟಿಂಗ್. ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಟೆರಿಬಲ್. ಓ ಗಾಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಡೂ ಐ ಗೆಟ್? ಎಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಟೆಲ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಯು, ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಅವೇರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸಿ. ಐ ಬಿಲೀವ್ ಇನ್ ಗಾಡ್, ಐ ಪ್ರೇ ಟು ಗಾಡ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಐ ಟ್ರಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಗಾಡ್. ವೈ ಆರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಸೋ ರಾಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಮೈ ಲೈಫ್? ಇನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಮೈ ಎಡಿಟೋರಿಯಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಗಝಿನ್ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕಮ್, ಆರ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಡ್? ಅಂಡ್ ದಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಈಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಸಿಂಗಲ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ ಈಸ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಡ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಫರ್ದರ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಈಸ್, ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಟೈಮ್ ದಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫನ್ನಿ. ವೈ ಡಸ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಸೇ ನೋ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ರೆವೆಂಜ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಯು? ನೋ. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಎ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಪಾಯ್ಸನ್, ವಿಚ್ ಮದರ್ ಈಸ್ ಪ್ರಿಪೇರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ದಟ್ ಪಾಯ್ಸನ್? ಇಸ್ ಎನಿವೇ, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ, ಐ ಟು ಟೆಲ್ ಯು ಫನ್ನಿ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ. ಇಸ್ ಮುಲ್ಲಾ ನಸರುದ್ದೀನ್. ಒನ್ ಡೇ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವಿಲೇಜ್, ಐಡ್ಲಿ ಪಾಸಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಸ್ಕ್ರಾಚಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಆರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ಹಿ ಫೌಂಡ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಮುಲ್ಲಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಹೋಲ್ ವಿಲೇಜ್ ಗ್ಯಾದರ್ಡ್, ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಹೆರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ದೆಮ್ ಟು ದಿ ಮಾಸ್ಕ್. ಸೊ ಮುಲ್ಲಾ ವರ್ ಸರ್ಪ್ರೈಸ್ಡ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಮುಲ್ಲಾಸ್, ವೈ ಆರ್ ಯು ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಮಾಸ್ಕ್? ದೇ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್, ಮಿಸರುದ್ದೀನ್, ಡೋಂಟ್ ಯು ನೋ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಲ್ಯಾಕ್ ಆಫ್ ರೈನ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿ ಫ್ಯೂ ಇಯರ್, ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಹಾರ್ಡ್ಲಿ ಎನಿ ರೈನ್, ವಿ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ವಿಂಗ್, ವಿ ಪ್ರೇಡ್ ಟು ಗಾಡ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಬಟ್ ಹಿ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾಂಡ್, ಸೊ ವಾಟ್? ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ದೀಸ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಟು ದಿ ಮಾಸ್ಕ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದಿ ಇನ್ನೋಸೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಅಲ್ಲಾ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಬಟ್ ಲಿಸನ್ ಟು ದೆಮ್. ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್, ಮುಲ್ಲಾ ನಸರುದ್ದೀನ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಲಾಫಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲಾಫಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಲಾಫಿಂಗ್. ದಿ ಮುಲ್ಲಾಸ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಅನಾಯ್ಡ್. ವಾಟ್ ಡೂ ಯು ಮೀನ್, ವೈ ಆರ್ ಯು ಲಾಫಿಂಗ್? ಈ ಸೆಡ್, ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಬಿಲೀವ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಲಿಸನ್ ಟು ದೀಸ್ ಇನ್ನೋಸೆಂಟ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್. ದೇ ಗಾಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಆಂಗ್ರಿ. ವಾಟ್ ಡೂ ಯು ಮೀನ್, ಯು ಮೀನ್ ಟು ಸೇ ದೀಸ್ ಇನ್ನೋಸೆಂಟ್, ದಿ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಸಿನ್ಸಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ನೋಸೆಂಟ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಗಾಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್, ಅಲ್ಲಾ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲಿಸನ್? ನೋ. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಹರ್ಡ್, ಯು ವುಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಸ್ಕೂಲ್ ಟೀಚರ್ಸ್ ಜಾಬ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಲಾಂಗ್. ಎವ್ರಿ ಸ್ಕೂಲ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಚೈಲ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಅರ್ನೆಸ್ಟ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ ಈಸ್ ಲೆಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಟೀಚರ್ಸ್ ಫಾಲ್ ಸಿಕ್ ಆರ್ ಡೈ ಸೋ ದಟ್ ದಿ ನೀಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೋ ಥ್ರೂ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಲೆಸನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಈಸ್, ಗಾಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಅವರ್ ಲವಿಂಗ್ ಮದರ್. ಹಿ ನೋಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್, ಹಿ ನೋಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್, ಹಿ ನೋಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಫ್ಯೂಚರ್. ಹಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಹಿ ಡಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎ ಗುಡ್ ಫಿಸಿಷಿಯನ್ ಆರ್ ಎ ಸರ್ಜನ್. ವೆನ್ ಎ ಸರ್ಜನ್ ಆಪರೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಎ ಪೇಷಂಟ್, ಟೆಲ್ ಮೀ, ಈಸ್ ಈ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಗುಡ್ ಟು ದಿ ಪೇಷಂಟ್ ಆರ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್? ಸೊ ವೈ ಡೂ ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಯುವರ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಪ್ರೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್, ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಯು. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಗಾಡ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಟೈಮ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಫನ್ ಟು ಸೇ ದಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋ, ಎಸ್ ನೋ ಟು ದಟ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್. ಓ ಗಾಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ಮೀ ದಟ್ ಜಾಬ್ ಆರ್ ಮೇಕ್ ಮೀ ವಿನ್ ದಿ ಮೇಯರ್ಶಿಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಂಡನ್ ಎಟ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ ಎಟ್ಸೆಟ್ರಾ. ದಟ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ ಮೇ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಡ್, ಬಟ್ He knows how to guide you. He say he wants to take you to higher and higher and higher state until he wants to give himself to you. This is God's greatest prayer to another God. You know, God also has a prayer, has a wish. Let all my children know that they are me. But we are putting obstruction. We are like children playing, absorbed in our play. So the point is, God answers. Sometimes he gives us what we don't want to have it. That's why how hard it is to understand. Holy Mother's saying, I'm sure most of you recollect, misery is a gift of God. Meditate upon it. If God loves you, then he will give you misery. It's astounding. What? God gives me misery? I am going to God to escape misery, to escape suffering. And yet you say yes. But at the same time, he is also awakening your wisdom. What is suffering? How to escape suffering? That knowledge also is giving along with that suffering. Because if we had been good children and learnt our lesson pleasantly, then God need not have gone through this harrowing event. But because we have no other way, this is the only way we can learn, God puts us through these trials and tribulations for our own good. Anyway, what is the problem? When a yogi is trying to become more and more dispassionate, his prayer, wholehearted prayer, goes to the Divine Lord. Oh Lord, I know I am the reflected consciousness. I want to become one with you. In Sanskrit language, we have a very beautiful way of expressing this truth. You know what is that? So a moth, as soon as it sees a flame, what does it do? It wants to become one with the immolate itself. Every devotee wants to immolate himself into God, become one with God. This is an innate wish that we have. When a yogi, having ascended to the fourth state, clearly understands, I am the reflected consciousness, and there is a tremendous yearning in him to attain to oneness with the reality, then something miraculous happens. As I said, that highest samadhi can only be attained, cannot be practiced. But what can be practiced is get rid of the obstructions. And that getting rid of the obstructions is done through the practice of intense dispassion. Whenever any thought comes, you simply go on saying, no, no, no. Now, this saying no, no, no becomes another samskara or impression. How does a yogi allow himself to be catapulted? He must sit in the catapult. The catapult does its job, but the stone must be put in the catapult. So the yogi must put himself in such a position that automatically the catapult does its own job. And that is done through the practice of saying no, no, no. And when this saying no, no, no becomes so strong, so natural, so automatic, this gap in between the two objects goes on widening until no object comes into his mind. Let me conclude this talk, again reminding ourselves what happened to Sri Ramakrishna when Totapuri came. Totapuri asked him, empty your mind. Sri Ramakrishna's typical reply was, I can empty my mind of all thoughts, excepting one thought. What is that thought? My Divine Mother. But that is also a thought. I want to enjoy the sugar. I don't want to become the sugar. What is Totapuri saying? I don't want you to enjoy the sugar. I want you to become the sugar. I don't want you to enjoy the Divine Mother. I want you to become the Divine Mother. Ramakrishna said, I am incapable of doing it. This is the whole point I am striving to convey. Ramakrishna said, I can't do it. But the divine grace came in the form of Totapuri, his guru. It is the Divine Mother. And the Totapuri looked at him, said, what? You cannot do? You will do it. I will make you do it. And he took a broken piece of glass, pressed it against the forehead of Ramakrishna, and he said, forget about your Divine Mother. Bliss. Meditate upon this pain. The intense pain, the intense pleasure, when they equated, both of them disappeared. What did happen? Sri Ramakrishna became sugar, the Divine Mother. and he entered into that, what we call Nirvikalpa Samadhi, which is Asampragnata Samadhi. And the rest of the story is only a repetition of what happened, which we will discuss this most wonderful point in our next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.